you're tuning in on the internet, or you're trying to get a podcast. Anyway, Blog Talk Radio, Kelly O'Connell. So we have an exciting situation in New York City or New York State, in which Trump has an enormous amount of strength. Cruz is not going to have a realistic shot of really winning anything there. So it's gone back and forth pretty well across the United States, and Cruz has come in and he's been able to come in and I guess dominate in these states where there's not an election, if you can do that. I mean, it shows that Cruz knows what's going on. He has what they call an inside game. But, you know, I think he's got to be careful that he doesn't. I mean, he can come across, I think, as pretty shady. And and this is with all due respect to the people that really love Cruz and the Donnas out there, the people that claim he's a statesman. Everybody else is a wannabe. I just think that, you know, the sense out there is that he's not a trustworthy person because he's devious, or he's lying, Ted, or whatever. And despite what Glenn Beck says, so you know, these things are going to be fought out. These situations, basically this is going to be fought out I think Cruz may have peaked, but anyway, here's a little bit from Chris Collins, who's a senator from New York, on why he thinks Trump makes a better candidate than Cruz.
New York, he's a Donald Trump supporter. He wrote an op-ed for the New York Times over the weekend titled "The Case for Donald Trump." Congressman, good morning, and thanks for taking a few minutes.
Yeah, Steve, nice to be with you today.
Thank you. Well, let me ask you this. Your state, you know it well, 95 delegates up for grabs tomorrow. Donald Trump, barring an act of God, is probably going to win the state tomorrow. The question is, how many delegates is he going to get?
Well, you've heard the campaign say 85. Quite frankly, I think that's at the low end. Donald Trump's popularity is truly amazing. You know, we've got that 50% rule. So, yeah, if he in a couple of congressional districts comes in with 47 or 48%, then someone else could get a couple more delegates, although it probably would be John Kasich, not Ted Cruz.
Well, yeah,
it's going to be a really big day tomorrow.
What parts, I mean, in terms of falling short, if he falls short of getting all 95, any particular pockets of the state, regions of the state, where he might struggle? Is it New York City? Is it up near you? Is it up near Buffalo? Where would it be?
Well, it's certainly not up near Buffalo, or I would say any part of upstate New York. Upstate New York, really outside the five boroughs, Westchester and Long Island, is so angry about the loss of jobs, the devastation of New York over the last 30 plus years, that they are really turning out for a non-traditional candidate, someone like Donald Trump, who's hitting all the right notes when it comes to jobs, China, and Mexico. So, no, it's not upstate New York. I think you'd have to probably look to a couple of congressional districts, perhaps Long Island or some of the five boroughs. But I believe Donald Trump could win all 95, but let's say it's 85. That's still, to use Donald Trump's term, a huge victory tomorrow for Donald Trump.
And as we said at the top, the other headline out of the weekend, though, Ted Cruz did really well at the state convention in Wyoming. You also have these conventions playing out in states around the country, some of them states where Donald Trump won the primary. But then there's this whole process, excuse me, for actually picking delegates where the Cruz campaign has been excelling. I know your candidate has been saying and your campaign has been saying how unfair you feel the process is. But the bottom line is, these are the rules of the process, and Ted Cruz's campaign, it seems, at least from afar, is much better positioned organizationally to take advantage of them. Just in terms of the organizational issue here, is that something that concerns you? Is the Trump campaign organized enough, whether it's against Ted Cruz now or potentially Hillary Clinton in the fall, in a situation like this?
Well, Steve, there's no question. We need to win this on the first ballot. I mean, I think most of us recognize that. Ted Cruz has been at this a long time. Give him credit. When it comes to inside baseball, all of the political maneuvering behind the scenes. There's no one better than Ted Cruz on the inside baseball. But that's frankly what the voters are rejecting in this election. They don't.
How true. So people don't want someone who can come in and finagle votes behind the scenes, because that is reminiscent of these smoky rooms with the cigars and the these wild, you know, people that are buying off candidates or whatever. So anyway, we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. This is Sharon. Good morning. Good
morning, Sharon. Good to hear you, and hope you're well. What's going on?
Well, I was just listening to that clip, and what I find so frustrating is I agree that America, the reason why Trump has any popularity at all is because of the distrust, the anger of government, and the fact that, you know, we don't feel like we have a voice at all. So we have these two different – and the other thing is Obama. You love him or you hate him. If you hate him, it's because he's an arrogant, narcissistic dictator.
Why would anybody love him, though? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, because he gives them lots of phones and everything else.
You know,
but nevertheless,
I just got to say, for the record, Obama is so weak at so many important things, and he's strong at so many bad things. It really baffles me.
Right, but that to my point, I don't care that he's a Democrat. If he was not a dictator, if he was following the law, I would be fine. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be fine with that. I hate pretty much everything about him. However, Trump is so much like him. He's arrogant. He's narcissistic. He does not follow the rules. He does not want to follow the rules. And so here we have this weird mix of
I'm getting a vision.
Facts.
I'm getting a vision.
No, now, wait a minute. So he's not happy with the rules when it goes against.
I know, but I've suddenly got a vision of Trump as a white Obama.
I'm sorry. I think he is. And I don't think that it's, you know, I don't see any substance in anything that he says at all. So then we contrast that with, yes, we absolutely hate the establishment. So we have a guy coming out of the Senate who is following all the rules, which is what we hate about Obama. He doesn't follow the rules. But yet we hate this guy who's following the rules and is actually doing it the right way and winning in some cases and not in others. Nobody expects him to win in New York. Nobody expected Trump to win in Texas.
All right,
and
so
neither of them did.
Let me ask you something. You're a Cruz fan, but I mean, all right, so I had asked this question the other day. Cruz is very religious. His dad's a pastor. I do not doubt Cruz if he says he's a Christian, but is it you know, in the Bible where Jacob and Esau have this like struggle over the supremacy in the family and God's blessing and everything, God gives Jacob he gives him this, and then Jacob turns around and goes out and steals it, and I almost feel like there's an element of that in Cruz.
So what I see is Jacob is Cruz. And the reason I say that is because he went and he fought the establishment. That's why they hate him. He's a guy in there that is so different from the establishment. And yet he's trying to win by following the rules.
But so why do people hate Cruz? There seems to be a universal revulsion against Cruz that people don't like him. And I had a friend of mine who's a very kind of mild-mannered person say the other day, he spent his career as a police officer, said he says there's something about that guy I don't like. I said, what is it? And he said he's always got the same expression. He's like a sociopath. And I was like, wow, this guy never really says anything like that, you know? And he's not my friend is not even really political.
Well, if you're watching, and that's part of it. If you're just watching the TV, then that's what you're going to see. And one thing I think Trump is doing that speaks to your point is that he's got these great one-liners. Little Marco, whatever it was. So we've got Lying Ted.
Yeah.
Now he's got Crooked Hillary. And people, you know, people don't that aren't engaged like you are, like I am, like Donna is, whatever. They don't understand that Ted Cruz is not the one who said New York values. It was Donald Trump
that said
New York values.
But the person who can put Trump has a genius for putting a colorful tag on something and having it resonate in people's minds. But I do have another title for Cruz, should he get elected, Lion King.
Okay.
Lion King.
Well, I could say that about Donald Trump as well, frankly. But, you know, do you want somebody like that that you don't trust?
Well,
I cannot trust.
People
Donald
don't
Trump
trust.
Is going to win New York because he bought New York. He told us. Mm. I bought the politicians.
Well, I mean, I did. That was he was just being honest on how it's played. The game is played by, and I find all of these billionaires who are now like funding the anti-Trump movement to be hilarious because they all do the same thing.
Well, Ted Cruz isn't a billionaire.
Well,
and yet Trump is.
Yeah, but I mean, we can't hold that against Trump. But anyway, so.
Okay.
Who do you think is going to end up with the most delegates? I mean, it seems like Trump, no matter what. But
yeah.
What do you think is going to happen What do you think is going to happen at the convention?
Well, I don't think that Donald Trump is going to have enough delegates. I think that I don't know all of the states. I know Florida's delegates can't vote; they aren't open until like the fourth ballot. I don't think it's going to go to a fourth ballot. I think if Donald Trump doesn't win on the first ballot, I don't believe he'll win. Because the majority of delegates, if you look at everybody versus Trump, he doesn't have a majority. He has fewer than everybody else. And you can say that those people are out. That's true. It was a big field, and that always happens when we have a big field. So if he doesn't win on the first ballot, I don't think he'll win. And I don't know what Reince Priebus is going to do after that. And
Reince Priebus seem like he is just way over his head?
Talk about a sinister looking guy. That guy creeps me out.
Yeah, but
his face, his expression never changes.
I know,
he reminds me of the Grinch.
Yeah, his name is just as weird as Obama, Barack Obama. I mean, Reince Priebus. I mean, what the?
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, one thing I did learn from this whole thing, because I love all this crap, which makes me sick sometimes. But I didn't realize that the RNC is, and I don't know why, it's a private institution.
Well,
I haven't donated to the RNC in forever, and there's something about this. You know, I know it's a representative republic; it's not a democracy.
Yeah.
And yet the RNC being a private organization, it's like a backroom smoke-filled thing. I mean, I am against everything establishment that they represent. And to me, that's not Ted Cruz and that's not Donald Trump. I don't know. That's one thing I'd never considered before.
Which was what?
That the RNC is a private institution.
Yeah. Well,
why do they have so much power?
Well, I mean,
to
so
pick our leader, our
all right,
ruler.
All right. All right. So the fact of the matter is that we want, in some kind of general sense, we want there to be private institutions that the whole theory behind republicanism is the diffusion of power. The more power is diffused through institutions, which are positive, generally speaking, positive groups that are, that have some theory of being, that are, you know, taking power and distributing it, or at least diffusing it, you know, then the stronger the country is. And so if you can't help but notice that one of the chief goals of the Obama administration and liberal democracy, the liberal Democrats in general, is to break institutions, because the more the institutions come under attack and are broken, the more they can directly access power.
Oh, absolutely. And this is I think this illusion is being shattered that our two parties are, you know, make it fair. I mean, if anything, on both sides, we've got the super delegates for Hillary, and yet she's not doing that well. And we've got,
she is sick.
Republican.
You're a nurse, correct? What's her illness? She gets up and gives a speech and she starts coughing and she can't stop coughing. And then she says she carries hot sauce. It's like some primitive form of like restarting your heart. It's like, I don't know what's going on with her. Does she look like a well person to you?
So she doesn't look well to me. I think the hot sauce was pandering to the group that she was talking to, and somebody pointed out that that's part of a Beyonce song. That's real common. I don't listen to that, but you know, there are, you know, she had a, I don't know if she had a stroke, and that's why she fell. You know, she had the blood clot in her brain, or if she fell and hit her head and had a problem in her brain. I think there's a possibility that she might be hypertensive. There's some hypertension medications that could cause a dry cough. that, you know, and maybe that's generally they try to change it and get something that works, and maybe that's all that, you know, maybe that's all they can give her that works to keep her blood pressure under control. I don't know. I mean, I don't know, but she doesn't look like a well person. Bill doesn't look like a well person.
No, Bill looks terrible.
Our whole country's going to be sick if we get her in there. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they need to put her into an induced coma for a few months. See if that works.
I would take care of her.
Well, I'm gonna send an email to their campaign and see if they respond.
I'll take care of her.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye, Kelly.
All right, have a good day. All right, we'll take a break here, and then I've got a little weather news for you. Kelly O'Connell, 523 1450 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 805-6180. I'll go get the text machine. Be right back. And we got Frank Sinatra. For Frank, who loved to hang around with the gangsters, Sinatra. Man, I'm having a lot of problems with my machine, but hang in there.
Our longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York.
All right, so I've got some weather stories for you. Unprecedented amounts of rain coming down in some enclaves, in some suburbs of Houston. It was 22, 24 inches of rain in a space of 48 hours. Extraordinary, you know, and Houston is, like I told you before, I've been tracking the weather since the drought broke in Texas. I've never seen anything like it. And they put up the amount of, I think it's in this clip here, but they put up the amount of rain that had fallen. It was trillions of gallons, and it would fill 11 million Olympics swimming pools that had fallen. Check this out.
Situation that's unfolding in the south this morning. A historic downpour causing widespread flash flooding, especially around the Houston area, which is where we find NBC's Janet Chamley in this morning. Hey, Janet, good morning.
Janet, good morning. We have a right now. Water rescue going on out the region. Many roads like this one are impassable. There are hundreds of cars stranded throughout the city.
A line of spring storms ravaging the southwest and midwest, triggering relentless rain and pelting some areas with marble-sized hail. Lightning striking a storage tank, sparking this fire at an oil facility southwest of San Antonio Sunday.
We had to battle through a storm. As soon as we got out here, there were several explosions that were taking place. I noticed that the oil storage tanks were completely engulfed.
So it's been raining, and my street's currently a river.
Today's rain could set records in southeast Texas, already 10 to 16 inches overnight, delivering flooded roads and stranded cars, keeping residents hunkered in their homes as the region this morning braces for even more.
The bulk of this rain has come in just the last few overnight hours, catching everyone off guard. Schools are now being canceled throughout the region, and flights as well, and more rain is on the way. Back to you.
All right, Janet Chamberlain, in this scenario, thank you.
3 inches an hour?
That's right, and it's not going anywhere. We've got some reports of 20 inches of rain that's already fallen just to the northwest of Houston, and it just continues. We told you last week about the Omega Block not allowing systems to move from west to east. Well, this is the result, and so these storms just keep training on top of the heavy rain and the thunderstorms that have already fallen. You can see we've got flash flood watches and flash flood warnings. 5.5 million people under a flash flood warning. Flash flood watches total 21 million people. To give you a sense of this, for the city of Houston, if you took 1 square mile and you had about 1 inch of rain, that would be more than 17 million gallons of water. Well, if you take a look at the entire region that's under a flash flood watch, average it out to about 3 inches of rain, that's 144,000 square miles. That would total over 7 trillion gallons of water, filling more than 11 million Olympic-sized swimming pools. And guys, see another 7 to 8 inches of rain throughout the region over the next 24 hours.
We're keeping those people down there in our...
All right, so that would be, I mean, that's only 3 inches, and they've had, I mean, I would assume that the entire area has had a foot of rain at least. We're talking 20 or 30 trillion gallons of water. That's unbelievable. Here is a little bit more from the Weather Channel. Flash flooding wreaks havoc in Houston. Can you imagine that? 3 inches an hour? The most I've ever seen come down here is maybe a little more than 1 inch in a day.
More rain is on the way for the flood-wary Houston, Texas, and everybody is looking for higher ground. Now, any additional rain we see, even small amounts, are going to cause big problems because this city is already underwater. We've already seen over 15 inches in Harris County. Houston has picked up close to 10 inches, so any little bit more will count. The rain continues today right through the bulk of the week. Louisiana starting to get in on the flooding action as well. We could even have a little bit of severe weather in the forecast by Wednesday. Now, as far as additional rain goes, before we see this to move, we could have a widespread additional 2 to 3 inches of rain.
Unbelievable. I mean, really just incredible. And we've seen flood after flood pass through Houston and travel some to Austin and San Antonio, but up to Dallas, Fort Worth. And this is the worst that I've seen. And I cannot, really cannot imagine it being worse than this. I mean, how do you get worse than 3 inches an hour with 7 or 8 more inches on the way? It's incredible. All right. Let's take a little break here and we'll be right back. 646 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB, 523-1450.
I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill.
I'm Robert Williams.
Thank you.
right. So, you know, just to let you know, here's one more clip. I'm so fascinated by this. So just to let you know, there's a lady that did a webcam out of her window, or she was probably filming off her phone, and she was looking down in kind of downtown Houston, or on the outskirts of the downtown, along the freeways. The freeways were, there was one of the freeways that you couldn't see. The other one, you could barely make out the outline, but there were guys that were driving 18 wheelers who thought that they had enough clearance to drive onto some of these freeways, and they got stuck. So the water was up to the top of the cab of some of these 18 wheelers. Here's one last clip.
At least 5 are dead from flooding in Houston, Texas. That flood water you're looking at, that's 10 to 15 feet deep. This all comes on the heels of a stationary front that has dumped more than 20 inches of rain in and around the Houston area. On Monday, there were over 1,000 water rescues. More than half of those rescues took in. 1,000 homes have been reported to be flooded, and much of the city is without power. The governor of Houston has declared a state of emergency in 9 counties.
Yeah, and I'm looking at another clip, and the water's even higher. It's just amazing. So anyway, we've got a little something here from all right, so this is Joy, MSNBC's Joy Ann Reid, horrified by Sanders supporters throwing dollar bills at Hillary as if in a strip club.
Actually, let's go to our third VO here, which is some Bernie Sanders supporters throwing dollar bills at the motorcade of Hillary Clinton as she was going to the George Clooney fundraiser. We're going to roll that video in just a second, but just the idea of that. And people went on Twitter afterwards. You can now see the video there. People throwing dollar bills as if in a strip club. This coming on the heels of a Bernie Sanders surrogate having to apologize for using the term Democratic whores at the Washington Square Park rally. That visual there of throwing dollar bills at a woman as she's going by in her motorcade.
Yeah.
Has the Democratic race gone over the edge?
It's really striking. And I don't know what it is exactly that has caused this. Maybe it's because we're here in New York. The media situation here is...
Maybe because Hillary's a whore.
Really intense.
Political whore.
Tabloid culture of it all. But I think it's also that Sanders' supporters are coming to realize that this process is going to come to an end, and that it's very difficult for him to have a path forward. Many of them are very frustrated by that. I think many of them really strongly dislike Secretary Clinton on a personal level. And I think that's actually what you're seeing in some of the George Clooney fundraisers, some of the people who are outside there. These are not necessarily Democratic voters. They're people who support Bernie Sanders, but would maybe never support Secretary Clinton.
True.
And so she maybe has no opportunity to win these folks over, and they're going to be the hardest to kind of bring across the finish line if she, in fact, wins the nomination.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
All right, so they're throwing dollar bills at her motorcade. I'm surprised she didn't stop to pick them up, but anything for a dollar, that's the Hillary Clinton mantra. Now, I've got, if I can get it here... Never go to Breitbart, by the way. Breitbart will freeze your computer. That's just a warning. That's just hard won information. Nobody should trust Breitbart. All right, I'm looking for this one's great. Excuse me, you're coughing. Do you need CPR? Are you okay? Well, can you imagine if you went on somebody's radio show and that's what they said to you? I'll play that for you when we get back. Thank you. Here, without further ado, a Hillary Clinton signature coughing bit on a radio show.
Therefore, I think I'm in a good position to say, wait, there's a lot more we have to do.
Absolutely.
Do you think it'll be difficult to be a president and to be a woman for other nations and for other countries that have issues with women in power?
Well, I don't think so. There is a lot of oppression against women that we have to address. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Okay. Allergy season.
That's a killer.
Right?
How do you guys do it?
Any mouth to mouth? You need, you're right.
Did you just add a kiss?
You coughing like you had some medicinal.
Yeah.
You cough like you need something medicinal. The other guy says, do you need mouth to mouth?
There's always the threat of sexism and unfair treatment. But you've got to learn to deal with it, which I have.
It's like she's come back from the grave to save women.
Years. And my voice is failing here, but let me just quickly say.
Her brain failed long ago.
I went to Beijing in 1995 and said women's rights are human rights. And I've been.
Did she ride the tank?
I'm pushing that message ever since. As Secretary of State, I went to 112 countries. And I can tell you I raised women's issues, the oppression of women, everywhere I went.
Wow. She's the new what's that guy's name? Gandhi. All right. So here is Hillary Clinton telling black radio hosts she carries hot sauce in her purse. Maybe it's for self-defense.
Hillary Clinton told a black radio host that she always carries hot sauce with her. During an interview with The Breakfast Club Monday morning, the Democratic candidate was asked what she always has in her purse. Hot sauce, Clinton answered. Yeah. Now listen, I want you to know that people are going to see this and say she's pandering to black people, one of the hosts told Clinton. Okay, Clinton said. Is it working? No, but seriously, I've been eating a lot of hot sauce, raw peppers and hot sauce. I think it keeps my immune system strong. Hot sauce is good for you. In Beyonce's song Formation that she performed at the Super Bowl, she sings, I got hot sauce in my bag. Swag.
Bizarre. There's no level that Clinton won't drop to, but what is it, I wonder, what it would be that would cause that kind of a regular cough where she's talking and she suddenly is losing her voice and she starts coughing. She has to have a drink of water. Her voice gets very thin. This is a repeated event over and over. There's got to be a medical condition that it's tied to, obviously, because obviously something wrong with this lady. I'm not just talking about her politics, which are deplorable, and her she's a chameleon, you know, but there's got to be something physically wrong with her. And Sharon said she had fallen down and hit her head, or she had a stroke and fell down and got a brain clot. Probably the best thing she's had on her brain for decades. But anyway, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE 523 1450 and 805-6180 is your text line. And Walt will be here momentarily. Be back after a break on the hour.
These little town blues are melting away. I'll make a brand new start of it. In old New York, if I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere. It's up to you.
All right. So here with Waltz, and always look forward to Tuesdays to get Walt's opinion on stuff. And I just got to say, I just want to start, we're going to talk a little bit of national politics, but I want to point out one more time, only because anybody who listens to the show knows that regardless of whether I agree with the people that come on the show, I always try to make people look good because that's how I would want to be treated if, you know, I came on somebody else's show. And if you're on somebody's show, that's an enormous amount of power to either make somebody look good or make them look like an idiot beyond their control. You know, you're running all the buttons and the whistles and how you ask questions and what, you know, what information you put out. And I understand that it's a lot of power, and I try to hold it lightly in terms of, you know, making people, my theory is I try to put people in the best light possible. And if they end up looking like an idiot, that's their fault, you know? So anyway, I just wanted to point out Mark D'Antonio was supposed to come last Friday and he didn't. And I've always had a very friendly relationship with Mark, and I'm involved all the time with the DA's office, and I have a lot of friends in the DA's office, a lot of people that I really respect over there. But I just found that him coming in, not even contacting me, because he switched it at the last moment from Wednesday to Friday, not even contacting me, not trying to reset it. I thought it was disrespectful, and I was surprised. I mean, you know, I've had him on the show 15 or 20 times. I mean, why would he do that? I don't know. So anyway,
no, I appreciate that. And, you know, I appreciate whenever I come in, we have respectful dialogues. We disagree frequently, but
yeah,
you know, at the end we shake hands and
it's always, you know, it's, yeah. People don't know. Sometimes you and I go to lunch,
yeah,
and it's fun and everything. But I mean, just because you disagree on some political things doesn't mean that you would have to disrespect each other.
Absolutely.
Or spend all your time just arguing over disagreements. But I don't know what's going on with Mark. I mean, it's just like the old Mark. I don't know if he's changed, but I mean, he's just never done anything like this before. I don't understand it.
Well, I can tell you that we had our interview with him last week, and it didn't go well. For him, it didn't go well.
And what I'm surprised at that, because, you know, Mark is, if you deal with him in public or private, he's always very composed. He's always very, he's urbane. He is.
Yes.
He is cultured. He's polite. He's got some polish, you know.
And I think that served him very well 4 years ago when he was running against Amy Orlando, who, you know, really didn't have those qualities. I think that served him very well. I don't know what is going on this time. I do know that he's facing a very tough challenger, a very qualified challenger in the primary.
James Dickens.
You know, in our meeting, Mr. Dickens came in very well prepared and hit him. And to Mark's defense, I mean, he was seeing a lot of these things that James was presenting for the first time. And, you know, certainly Mr. Dickens came in with a set of statistics seemed to show that the district attorney's office has just not taken enough cases to court or to trial. And the ones they have taken, they just haven't been very successful with. And so that is the case he's going to be making as the voters go to the polls in the primary, and Mark needs to come up with a better answer than he had when he spoke to us,
which was basically sum it up.
Really, which was no answer at all. He alleged that he was cherry picked. Like I said, he was presented with that for the first time, and so maybe it was a little bit unfair. And I'm thinking, how could we have handled things differently? And, you know, probably what I should have said at some point is, you know, listen, Mark, I understand you haven't had a chance to go over this. You know, why don't we give you a day or two? And if you want to come back and give us your, I mean, that's what I should have done in hindsight.
Well, but I mean, look, you're not a third grade teacher,
right?
You're trying to run a newspaper and you've got a lot of people to interview and you've got to start. I mean, I know you well enough. I mean, people might trash you, but I know you on a personal level. And I feel like you're a person who tries to be fair to people.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line was that he got very flustered and very upset and he stormed out of the meeting. And, you know, I never want that to happen.
No, of course not.
So
it makes everybody say, what did I do wrong?
Yeah, that's right.
But
the bottom line is, you're right. It really is on him.
It's on him. Yeah. And I just want to say there's people at the DA's office there. You know, Gerald Byers is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And Davis Rourke, I'm getting to know, a very fine litigator and a prosecutor. And there's probably 20 people I can mention over there that I'm fond of, that I work with all the time, that are highly competent. So as they say, if the statistics are bad, I haven't even had a chance to study them, but if a fish goes bad, it starts at the head. I mean, that's an old Chinese statement.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there were, I came prepared with myself. There were three or four cases that I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
That Fuchetti case, the Daniel Salinas, Sunland Park mayor, that case, the James Bogart case. I mean, there were several high profile cases.
Yeah.
That go as the prosecution would have hoped they would have.
And so, the who's the lady that ran over her boyfriend and then backed up to do it again?
I think that was the Fuchetti case.
Okay, which I thought was bizarre. But anyway, I mean, I personally don't have any problems with the DA's office, and everybody is always very nice to me. So, and if I can get a deal for my client, if it's possible, if it makes sense for both sides, I mean, people work with me, you know, so for pleas and stuff like that. But anyway, I'm disappointed in Mark that he would storm out of a meeting like that. I'm disappointed that he would do a no call, no show. I mean, ultimately, for whatever is motivating him, and maybe he's got maybe he's got a problem in his private life, or I don't know, that's distracting him or whatever. But I think that people want to have faith in their elected officials.
No, that's absolutely true. And I don't know. I mean, it certainly could be something just as simple as the fact that this is the first elected office he's held. When he ran last time, he was the one who was in the position of doing all the criticism.
Sure.
Because he was the new guy coming in. He was the outsider.
And it's a great position to be in.
It absolutely is. And now those positions are reversed. And he's on the hot seat. There's no question about that.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, we're going to come back and talk a little national, because everybody's got this New York in their mind. And Mark, if you're listening, nothing personal, come back on the show. All is forgiven. And I'm sure that, you know, if he came to you and said that he wanted to talk again, you'd,
of course,
I know you well enough to know that you'd come in and give him a fresh hearing. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell with Walt Rubel 713, AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text. We will be right back. But here's a little bit of Billy Joel's Salute to New York. And New York is having its primary today, and it's a big deal. And it is the 19th. We'll be right back. Little live Billy Joel here. It's Kelly here, and we're pleased and delighted on every Tuesday to have Walt Rubel in, editorial page editor at the Sun News, and he's got a lot of hats that he wears over there. But good morning, Walt. And what is in your mind is happening in New York?
Well, it's going to be a very good day for Donald Trump. Here's what I've noticed in the Republican primary. As long as people aren't voting, Ted Cruz does great. Man, Ted Cruz cleans up when nobody's voting.
Oh, my God. That's like having a restaurant. Everybody loves it until they taste the food.
Exactly right. So for the last 2 weeks, there have been no primaries, and Ted Cruz has been going to Wyoming, and he's been going to all of these different precinct meetings, and he's been gathering delegates left and right. But now, tonight, Trump will add another 85, 90.
Yeah.
Cruz will get maybe none. Kasich will get maybe a handful. So it seems like the trajectory is back on course. 2 weeks without a vote, but now we're voting again, and it's a very friendly territory for Donald Trump.
All right. So somebody called in, Sharon called in and said, and which I interpreted her to say that that Trump is the white Obama. He craves power and no strings attached. Is that an accurate view of how he's portrayed himself, or that people, how people see him as not so much a white Obama, but a tyrant?
You know, I've always thought that he had sort of an authoritarianism to his politics.
Yeah.
And it's all very, you know, personality driven.
Yeah.
Vote for me and I will solve all your problems. So, you know, tyrant and, you know, those kinds of things. I honestly think the guy wants to make America great again, as far as what he thinks that means. But there, I have no doubt that if he were to be elected president, there would be daily discussions with him about the limits to presidential power.
Well, okay, so when Caesar comes along in the history of Rome, there's a crisis because the empire has become too far flung.
Yeah.
It's difficult for just a senatorial body with these consuls. There were, in the history of Rome, they had an even more brilliant way of dispersing power than we did. They had not one but two consuls, which was the head leader. They only were in for a year, so that they wouldn't stay in and become corrupted, and then they could only serve one time, which historically was not accurate. But Caesar comes in; he's a brilliant general. He's defeated the Gauls. He's everything he's touched. He's one of the most brilliant people in history. And he comes up with a plan for a tyranny, or for a dictatorship, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And the Senate doesn't like it, and they end up doing a tyrannicide. They kill him. But after that comes his adopted son, Caesar Augustus, and that's the great age of Rome. And then it almost immediately falls into these really crazy relatives of his that come after. And so do maybe we need, I'm kind of like drawing this up into the question for Walt, do we need a benevolent tyrant to return to America's golden era?
Well, I don't think so. But beyond that, I don't think it would matter if we needed it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no consensus among the country. And by consensus, I'm talking like 75% of the people uniting behind Donald Trump and saying, you're our savior, take us to the promised land.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not how.
To mix metaphors.
Yeah.
Yes. Is he a Moses? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Glenn Beck has already said that Cruz is Moses. You can't apply that to
taken.
Trump.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't think we're getting to the promised land from either one of them.
One way or the other.
Yeah.
But it seems like China has run up against some kind of a wall in terms of currency manipulation, in terms of how much they can spike their own economy through their own national development. They've built many ghost cities that were supposed to have a million or more people in them, and they're empty. And you can't live on a sugar high forever.
No, I think that's right. And you know, that obviously will be a drag on the global economy. That every time China and Europe struggle financially, we struggle a little bit as well. So
all right. So list what you think top five, top 10 challenges that this next president is going to have, just off the top of your head.
Well, obviously ISIS. And I use ISIS as sort of a catch-all for, you know, Middle
World,
East.
World terrorism and Middle Eastern problems.
Exactly. So that's one. The economy.
It's never really performed since Bush.
And to me, I'd be even more specific. The working class. I mean, that is who is really taking it in the...
You know, there was a time during the 70s, Walt, when a person could have a minimum wage job, they could afford to rent an apartment, they could afford gas, and they could go out to a movie they could go out and have a dinner and a movie and make it, and without making a lot of money. Those days are so far gone.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, especially people at the lower end of the ladder, just the recovery left them behind. And the job market is so tight that employers feel like that, you know, they can pay a little bit less. They can cut the benefits a little bit. And that just, it's very much a buyer's market if you're, you know, looking to hire. And it's just very, it's been very difficult for, and I think that is why Bernie Sanders has done so well, and Donald Trump.
And Trump,
I think,
because
both
they're,
of them,
they're,
that's right.
They're approaching the same problem from different ends, really, right?
I think that's exactly right. And they're speaking out to people. People who have never voted, they've given up on the system, and now they see somebody who they have faith in, who they think, probably naively, could come in and make dramatic changes, which, like I said, I don't think whoever is elected president is still going to be dealing with an intractable Congress, is still going, you know, right now we only have eight members of the Supreme Court, so we're getting divided decisions like we just had on immigration. I mean, I think whoever is the next president is going to have the same challenges that Obama has had. It is just a very divided country.
All right. When you see what happened, and I assume you know more about this stuff than I do, what exactly happened in the delegate race for Colorado and Wyoming, when you see that happening, do you get a sense that it's going to strike a lot of people as more of the same? This is why we hate the GOP. This is why we hate these backroom deals. We just found out that these are private companies, and I hate the guts of the people that would do this, but they're not paying any attention to us.
I think you hit the nail on the head. Absolutely, that's what I think. And they're right to think that. I mean, Donald Trump is wrong when he says the system is rigged against him specifically. But he is right when he says that the system is rigged against any insurgent, any outsider, because the rules are made by the insider.
Right.
And so absolutely, when you have Colorado, which is, you know, my home state, I love it. My family still lives there.
Yeah.
But people aren't even voting. I mean, all of the decisions are made by the party bosses.
Did you pick up anything from friends or family or just what you saw in the news wires about how people on the ground felt there?
You know, from my friends and family, not so much, because most of them are just not politically, you know, and because it's not new. I mean, it's been that way for a while. And so, you know, I get the sense that a lot of people don't like it, but it, you know, that's just kind of the way it's been.
Well, okay. So you've got this kind of bizarre, almost echo chamber effect where Cruz comes along and he says, I'm an outsider. And then obviously in some ways he is, he gets up and calls McConnell liar on the Senate floor and refuses to back down. And then you get somebody who's truly an outsider. And then the guy that's calling himself an outsider, Cruz, is then working the system like a demon.
Right. That's right. So how do you make that claim that you're an outsider when you're the guy who has all the party bosses in county after county throughout this country?
Yeah.
Working in your behalf. I mean, that's as inside baseball as you get.
Yeah, it's like watching a play where somebody's playing a part, and you might, you know, think it, or a movie, you could think it's a documentary, and all of a sudden, all of the props in the background are exposed. You know.
Yeah, yeah. And in the meantime, I think there's been, you know, a very quiet but a very dramatic shift taking place in the Trump campaign.
Okay, so, and I know his national manager just quit. So what's happening?
Corey Lewandowski, did he quit? Or
no,
right?
No.
He just sort of got demoted, I think. Paul Manafort was the old hand who they brought in.
Yeah.
And now they've sort of made him. They haven't changed titles or anything, but it's clear that Paul Manafort is now running the campaign.
And Paul Manafort is known as a guru for exactly what they're dealing with here, which is back rooms and delegates.
Right.
More importantly, he knows the law. He knows voter law inside and out. He's obviously a very astute guy. He's a partner in some law firm, but he's been at this for a long, long time.
That's exactly right. And so they were very late to the game, but they are in that game now. And you've seen a little bit of a different Donald Trump. I mean, he's not responding to every slight with 12, you know, outrageous tweets. He is a little bit more disciplined. I mean, he's still saying the same things on the stump. But you know, he's no longer telling people to punch people in the face. I mean, he has toned down that rhetoric. But it will be interesting if he does get the nomination, and it's looking more and more like he probably will he be able to tone that down against Hillary Clinton?
Oh, but maybe he shouldn't, but here, can you comment on this Kim Fields thing, where this lady, she claims that she was assaulted by Corey Lewandowski.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you look at the tape and she doesn't even noticeably react to the so-called assault. I'm not saying that she wasn't touched. I think everybody has admitted that she was touched, but but it all, you know what? It's just seen this time and again. It seems like people going after trying to take down Trump and get his scalp.
Yeah. It's hard to tell from the tape, in my opinion, because we're talking about security camera tape that was taken from a distance away. But what it appears to show is that first, Donald Trump is walking away from her. She approaches him from behind. Mm-hmm. She reaches out and grabs him. A moment later, Corin Lewandowski grabs her by the arm and appears to certainly not pull her down, which is what she alleged, but turn her away from Trump. And after that, she had bruises on her arm. Now, you know, I'm trying not to be sexist here. It's hard.
Be sexist. I mean, be honest. Who cares about sexism? Well, just give us your unvarnished reaction.
I mean, I'm comparing that to Dan Rather getting punched in the stomach in the 1968 convention by somebody who was intending to punch him in the stomach. I think a case can be made that if you're the campaign manager, you don't lay your hands on reporters. You get security people to do that. At the same time, I think she overreacted. I think both sides overreacted.
But I mean, basically she says to Breitbart, I was assaulted and if you don't back quit, my boyfriend's going to quit and everything. And in retrospect and seeing the clip, it just seems ridiculous.
Yeah. It seems like more than certainly not as much as what she portrayed.
And it seemed to me like another attack on Trump by somebody that, I mean, I think that if you're a person, I know Breitbart was in the pocket of Trump, but if you're the person who knocks Trump off his pedestal, you got huge props out there.
Yeah, well, certainly there are a lot of people in the media trying to be that person.
Yeah.
But he's still up on the pedestal. So
he's on the pedestal, and a lot of these people, like Megyn Kelly, I don't want to say that she's not respected anymore, but I don't know that people have the same degree of respect after she tangled with Donald. And I think that's true of a lot of people. He makes, whether he looks good or bad afterwards, he makes other people look like fools a lot of times.
Well, as we said at the time, you know, Marco Rubio spent 1 week wallowing in the mud with Donald Trump. And at the end of that week, he was done. His career was finished. Donald Trump brushed himself off and went right on, like as if nothing happened.
Yeah. So. And he came up with Lion Ted for Ted Cruz. Yeah. And I suggested to, I think it was Sharon, if Cruz somehow improbably gets elected to president, we got to rename him Lion King.
but does he ever shake that? I mean, the rest of his life.
I don't think so. Yeah. So here's the thing. Here, this kind of metaphor that I threw out there, because I'm fascinated with this idea that you're a Christian and you're given something by God. And apparently his dad and other Christian leaders have said, you know, you've got the anointing. You're going to wear the mantle of the prophet. You're going to ascend to the presidency and bring in Christian law and everything. If he believes he's given that, does he become a Jacob and go out and steal? I mean, it's not stealing if you're already given it, right?
No, that's right. I mean, any means necessary, if you are the person who is going to be the salvation of the country, then of course. Yeah.
All right. So, okay, folks, we're with Walt, 7:32, and we'll be right back to kick it up again. Is there anything local besides some of the candidate stuff, or you want to stick on the national stuff?
Yeah, there are a couple things we can talk
about. Okay, we'll be right back with Walt. 7:33 on the button, name Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text. And Mark D'Antoni, come on this show.
Some folks like to get away, take a holiday from the neighborhood. Have a flight to Miami Beach or to Hollywood. Me, I'm taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line. I'm in the New York state of mind.
All right, I'm here with Walt, and these are exciting days. Exciting days for lovers of politics on both sides. I mean, so how about some analysis with Hillary? Is she dying? I mean, she gets in these coughing fits, and it's like you're walking past a like a sanitarium, and you hear these, you know.
I don't think she's dying. I do. I was listening to your take on the Bernie Sanders protest of the George Clooney $35,000 a plate dinner that he held for where they were showering her with money. And when I saw that, I thought that is the perfect protest. I really did. Because it's visual.
Yeah.
It makes its point.
Yeah.
They're playing, we're in the money, and they're throwing dollar bills at her. As, and I thought, man, that is the perfect protest. It makes the point. It does it with humor. It's visual. Everybody knows what they're talking about. There's no yelling, no screaming, no angry words, nobody throwing punches. And then the next day I hear, well, you know, she's a woman, and you know what happens when they throw money at. So now we're trying to think that they're suggesting she was a stripper? Come on, give me a break. I mean, she and her supporters are going to have to, you know, you can't play this victimized woman card every time somebody comes up with a criticism or a way to protest against you.
Are you sure?
Oh, my goodness. So you know, and I also sort of love the symbolism of, you know, she's doing this big money fundraiser at the same time that Bernie Sanders is at the Vatican meeting with the Pope.
Yeah, so Bernie Sanders is at the Vatican with the Pope?
He was last week, yeah.
Is he like, I mean, he's a socialist. Is he an atheist or what?
No, he's a Jewish. He is, you know, Reformed Jewish.
Oh, I didn't know if he was a practitioner of anything, but
yeah.
I guess there's a huge connection between Judaism and socialism because a lot of these guys are socialists. We have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. It's Deborah. She needs to take Slippery Elm to help with her voice when you do a lot of talking and drink a lot of water, maybe.
You know what would be almost better than that?
What's that?
Strychnine.
Mm. Oh, come on, Kelly.
Just kidding.
Being nice this morning.
I'm sorry.
Because look, a few years ago, Rachel Ray, she wasn't breathing correctly, and they were saying she had cancer.
Mm. No, I think you're right. When you're talking all day long, you wake up early in the morning, and you're up till late at night, and you're talking all day long, that takes its toll.
Are you taking your Slippery Elm, Kelly?
I'm trying to.
It helps. I know you keep clearing your throat, and that's bad for your vocal cords rubbing together. Swallow or drink water.
Now, I have never heard of Slippery Elm before. What is that?
I gave it to you. Oh, is
this
he
is
asking? Walt. Yes, it's from the tree, elm tree.
I thought Slippery Elm was a rock band.
No, it's very helpful.
Okay.
It really is.
All right. All right, Deborah, all right. Anything else? Now, are you still planning on voting for Hillary?
Oh, heavens no. I booed her. Did I tell you? I booed her in Pittsburgh. She, how dare her be in our Irish parade down Pittsburgh, downtown Pittsburgh.
And did she hear you?
Her.
Did she hear you boo?
I doubt it.
Yeah. You tried.
She may not have had
even
her miracle ear turned on.
Well,
yeah. No, I've noticed. All right, Deborah, thanks a lot. Have a good day. And hey, Deborah, please keep stopping those pets from coming in stores.
I haven't seen any lately. I've been out and about quite a bit.
Well, I hope so because they can drop hair. They can have lice leaping off.
True.
They can have ticks that are looking
right.
for a new host.
May I say something since you held me on? This man, he's connected with the Sun News.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed about August. I had written a letter, something I wanted in the paper. Either sound off, article, investigation, whatever.
Oh, what was
and
it?
I don't remember the woman's name. She would not accept you because there was nothing there. And there was.
Okay.
Do you keep the paper?
But
I submitted?
Yeah, but hold on a second. What was the point of your – what did you want in the paper?
Okay.
Briefly,
okay.
five minutes or less.
About the court system, about the code, no code enforcement where we live, how we're forced to live in substandard housing. And then I said, oh, you must have some rentals and she was fine. She it took her off, and she didn't know what to say. Yeah, she,
sounds like
she
you baffled
was,
just,
dumbfounded.
Just for me, Devorah, were you trying to write a letter to the editor, or what were you trying to do?
Yeah, I wrote a letter, and I said, give it to whoever you can, do with what you can, but it has to be addressed. Conditions and the corruption in the courts.
Okay.
Retaliatory evictions, which is illegal.
Okay. Well,
they don't even do it in England anymore,
oh.
Where our laws came from.
Okay. I don't remember seeing it, and I'm the one who makes decisions on if a letter goes or doesn't go, and almost all of them do go. So send it again.
It was a woman. I'm so sorry. I can't remember her name.
Okay.
It's okay, but he's saying to send it back again. Maybe the lady was chewing gum when she got your letter.
I have no idea. What's that got to do with it?
Well, she stuck the gum in the letter and threw it in the waste basket.
I see. Okay.
Send it back in, Devorah. Thank you. And keep those pets out of those stores. We don't need any more pet saliva or you know, we don't need anybody bitten in these stores by roaming hounds.
That's true.
All right. Bye-bye. Have a good day. Thanks. All right, folks. We'll take a little break here and come back. And what do you want to get into?
Well, we could get into the county a little bit.
All right. 744 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell 523-1450 and 805-6180. I will check your text, 805-6180. We just survived another Devorah sighting. We'll be right back.
I'm in New York State of Mind.
Okay, we're here with Walton. What's going on in the county? I mean, what is happening? And so we have gotten ups and downs with various things. Kiki was up, and now he's down, and what's in the county commission? Just tell us what's going on.
Well, a couple things. One is the Kim Stewart case. You'll remember that. She was the former internal auditor who blew the whistle on Curtis Childress and what was, by all appearances, racial discrimination going on in, I think, animal control.
Is she black?
Kim Stewart?
Yeah. What was the race of the person that was discriminated against?
Oh, no, it wasn't discrimination against her specifically. She was the auditor who investigated it.
Oh, okay.
And she found that it was there. She reported it to her superiors, whose superiors did not want to hear that. She ended up getting fired. She then went to she then sued the county under the Whistleblower Protection Act, and she won more than $1 million. County is now trying to appeal that, which I guess that's what you have to do.
Well, I mean, by definition.
Yeah. But, to me, the sooner they pay that off and learn their lesson, the better.
Which lesson are they going to learn? I mean, because this happened so many times.
No, very good point. Very good point. There are three county commission seats that are up for grabs this year. District 2, 4, and 5, I believe that's
and
correct.
Craig Buckingham and Kim Hakes are fighting. I've had both those guys on.
Yeah, very good race there. I think Craig Buckingham, former captain, ran against. Yeah, he did run against Kiki in the general election,
and he came pretty close for being somewhat underfunded.
He absolutely did, especially since he was sort of tied to Todd Garrison, who really wasn't.
Unpopular there, and I've gotten to know Craig. He's a great guy. I did have a little lunch with Kim Hakes, and seems like a real smart guy and everything. So and has good ties with the community. So I agree with you. It's going to be a tight race.
Yeah, and there are only two. I think I got that wrong. The other one on the Republican side, there's a gentleman named William Webb from Hatch, who is primarily a chili farmer up there.
Uh-huh.
But has traveled the world, spent time in China, kind of an interesting guy.
Sure.
And he's running against Roman Jimenez, who is a former state police officer, and that's on the Republican side as well. So, I think Republican voters who are not happy with the county, who live in either one of those districts, will have some good choices.
Yeah.
So that's good. On the Democratic side, there will be more races in the primary on the Democratic side. One of the most interesting, we talked a little bit about the D'Antonio race. One of the more interesting ones to me is Jeff Steinborn is giving up his House seat, and he's being running against Oscar Vasquez Butler, former two-term county commissioner, former chairman of the county commission, at a time when the county was running a lot better than it is now. And the winner of that race will face Lee Cotter for the Senate seat.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back, Cotter. Very good. So, you know, I think that's going to be a good race on the Democratic side. Two experienced people who are both very well known by the voters. And we did the interview on that one last week. And it was obvious that both men knew an awful lot about that district, knew a lot about the Oscar Vasquez Butler, since he's been out of the county, has been the head of the Colonias Initiative, trying to help out all these tiny communities around the county. So
with the Colonias?
What, excuse me?
The Colonias? The kind of the unincorporated ones?
Exactly, like La Mesa, Chamberino.
Do you think there's two views on this? One view is that they're not incorporated, so don't complain to us because you move into an unincorporated area, and then you complain about there's no services. What did you expect? On the other side, it's like these people are poor and they need some help, and we need to invest in infrastructure, whether they're incorporated or not. What do you think is?
I think a lot of these families, it's not like they just moved into this area and they're trying to freeload. They've lived there for generations, and you know, to me, it's an easy one. They are dealing with extreme poverty, and they do have basic infrastructure needs, you know, water, sewage, that type of thing. And, you know, and that frustrates me a little bit. I'm getting a little off track here, but when Mesilla tries to tap into those funds because they want to repair their streets,
man,
that's not right. You got $1 million homes in Mesilla. You know, you do not have the same needs that these people have, and the fund was not made for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, get in line.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break here, and I'm here with Walt Rubel. And what do you want to finish up with?
Well, let's see. Let's talk about it in the break and come back with something.
All right,
great.
We're going to surprise you. 751 Kelly O'Connell with Walt Rubel here, and AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE 523-1450 and 805-61802 text. We'll be right back.
What's so easy living day by day?
Kelly, Ben Rossin, how are you?
Ben Rossin, the legend. What's going on?
I just wanted to remind you and Walt that District 2 is up for election as well, although it'll be decided in the primary.
Can you hear him? Hold on. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
2, 4, and 5, is that correct?
Yes, 2, 4, and 5. You got it.
Okay. Do you have time to come on with us?
I'm walking into a speaking engagement. Did you have something you wanted me on?
Is it at International House of Pancakes?
No, I wish it was. It's with the young professionals.
Well, if they're really professionals, they can wait a few minutes.
They'd be glad to. What would you like me to address?
Well, I think there's so many things, and I'd almost leave it up to you, but the latest one, I guess, is the situation with the sheriff going over the spending cap on his, you know, vehicle repairs. I mean, that just seems like, you know, an more of the same thing that you guys have been wrestling with for 2 years now.
Yeah. it sure is. It doesn't help that the sheriff and the chairman won't talk to each other, and we're sticking both ways.
Yeah.
Well, we got 30 seconds here, so why don't you stick around?
I'll hang on.
Remember the happy days of the Rossin Report?
I'm ready to bring them back, Kelly.
We got to do it for the people. For the people. All right, we're just about here, but yeah, miss you in the studio always, man.
No, thank you, Kelly. You're too kind.
Oh, I'm just honest. Folks, we have a happy coincidence that Ben Rossin was able to call in right as he was just about to go into a speaking engagement. Just a few minutes here. And so, Ben, good morning to you. How's everything going?
Good morning, Kelly. It's going well. Good morning, Walt.
Good morning, Ben. And Ben reminded us that there are three races. There's districts 2, 4, and 5 are all up for election,
including the human race. But all right. So, Ben, What is the state of the county right now? And Walt had pointed out there is this interminable battle between the sheriff's office and the county commission. What can you give us a status report on that?
Well, Kelly, I'm glad to. I think the paper did a good job, Walton, explaining that a while back, talking about the continued escalation. And that's really what it continues to be between the chairman and the sheriff. And unfortunately, the escalation isn't helping anybody as the two of them just try to prove who's the top dog.
I think it's called a pissing contest.
Yeah. Well, and the latest thing that came up just last week was this situation with the sheriff taking his vehicles to an auto shop here in town and going over the spending cap. And so now it looks like the county is going to intentionally put itself in a position where it could have a problem with its audit. Is that correct?
That is. The vote on the county commission last Tuesday, 2-3, with me being in the minority, was to not approve that contract over the limit amount, and that will likely result in a finding for the in our financials.
So you don't approve it, but I assume that the company gets paid anyway. Is that right?
Yeah, the company has already been paid. And one of the things that I think people have trouble understanding is it isn't that the sheriff spent more money than he has in his account. He has the money to spend in his account for this. That's not a problem. What has happened is he has spent over the contract amount with this individual vendor. And so it's not a matter of he spent more money than we have or anything like that. It's just a matter that he spent more than the $50,000 that was authorized for this one vendor.
Any truth that the sheriff ordered a seat for his cop car that had massaging fingers?
Well, I certainly hope not.
that would be unsightly. What is your kind of prediction for the near future of the commission? How are things going? And is there any chance you guys are going to work something out with the sheriff, or do you think it's just a permanent war?
Well, I think while the sheriff and the chairman refuse to speak to each other, it's going to continue to be a war between the two of them, and the rest of us are kind of along for a ride in that aspect, unfortunately.
The chairman being Wayne Hancock.
The chairman being Wayne Hancock, yes.
Right. How about Julia Brown? I mean, is the sheriff talking to her these days?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think that anybody's speaking with each other much, and that's very unfortunate for the residents in our community that deserve better than that.
A dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
I guess the bottom line, Ben, is public safety being impacted here, or are you still confident that the sheriff is able to do his job?
The sheriff has more deputies today than Todd Garrison did at three different points in his career. And during that time, Sheriff Garrison never cut the services to the community like the sheriff has. So I don't believe that it's being jeopardized by a lack of staff, although I think the sheriff refusing to respond to some calls is not a good thing for our community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, so we're just about out of time. Any concluding thoughts?
No, I appreciate both of you being on the radio and so available to people to help get information out there so people can make educated decisions come June for the primary and November for the general.
We're here to help.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you. Have a good day, Ben.
You too. Right. Bye.
We got 1 minute. I'll hand it over to you, Walt.
Well, that was he was on his way into an IHOP, I think.
Yeah,
so that was nice of him. That was my
interpretation.
Yeah, so, once again, say the same thing every time. Pay attention and vote.
Got one more call. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
There needs to be a permanent home established, a rule somehow, some edict for that Swainson hawk that hangs out at NMSU. I read in Walt's paper, the Las Cruz Sun News, about that, and it appears that the college is mad that poor hawk made a home on a campus and is buzzing some kids.
You know why they're mad? They're mad because he's a conservative. He's out working for his food every day.
They're mad because he's swooping down on people and giving them head injuries.
He stole somebody's hairpiece for gosh darn it.
Is that what happened? Well, I just still think, that one little hawk, just give the little hawk a break. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you for your hawkish comments.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Okay.
So, Walt, great to have you on as always.
Yeah, look forward to it every week.
And we'll take you out with a little New York State of Mind, Billy Joel. Have a great day. Kelly O'Connell, I am Las Cruces, 4250 KOBE. Ciao.
Now I need me just a little give and take. Chinatown.